Here's what nobody saw coming. The world's second largest payment network just paid $1.8 billion for a company most people have never heard of. BVNN. Four letters that might reshape how money moves across borders. But here's the twist. MasterCard didn't buy this stablecoin startup to bet on crypto. They bought it to kill traditional correspondent banking. The question isn't whether this deal makes sense. The question is whether MasterCard just triggered the largest reshuffling of global payment infrastructure since the invention of the credit card. Welcome back to Edge Capital Insights. I'm Sloan. Today we're going deep on MasterCard's acquisition of BVNEC, a deal that signals the mainstreaming of stablecoin infrastructure just as regulators worldwide are tightening the screws on digital assets. This matters right now because we're witnessing the collision of two massive forces: institutional capital flooding into crypto infrastructure and regulatory frameworks finally crystallizing around stablecoins. Let's start with what the world looked like before this deal dropped. Traditional cross-border payments are a beautiful racket. Beautiful if you're one of the incumbents extracting rent from every international transaction. The correspondent banking system that moves money between countries operates like a series of toll booths, each one taking a cut. Send money from New York to Lagos, your dollars might touch five different banks, each charging fees, each adding delays, each introducing points of failure. The numbers tell the story. The average cost of sending $200 internationally is 7%. 7%. In an era where you can stream 4K video across continents for free, moving money costs 7 cents on every dollar. The World Bank estimates that reducing these costs to 3% would unlock an additional $96 billion annually for developing economies. Enter the stablecoin revolution, or what was supposed to be a revolution. Stablecoins promised to eliminate these intermediaries entirely. Instead of your payment bouncing between correspondent banks in London and Frankfurt and Dubai, it could move directly on blockchain rails. Faster, cheaper, always on. BVNEC positioned itself as the bridge between this promise and reality. Founded in 2021 by Jesse Hempson Struthers and Donald Jackson, both veterans of the traditional banking world, BVNEC built what they called stablecoin as a service. They created the infrastructure that let traditional financial institutions plug into stablecoin networks without having to understand the underlying technology. Think of BVNEC as the Stripe of stablecoins. Stripe made it trivial for any company to accept credit card payments online. BVNK made it trivial for any financial institution to offer stablecoin settlement. Their platform handled all the complexity, the wallet management, the blockchain interactions, the regulatory compliance frameworks. Banks and payment processors could offer their customers stablecoin-powered transfers while remaining blissfully ignorant of the underlying rails. By early 2200, BVNK had deployed their infrastructure across 32 countries. They were processing over $120 billion in transaction volume annually. Their client list read like a who's who of emerging market financial institutions. Banks in Nigeria using BVNEC to offer instant dollar transfers. Payment processors in Brazil leveraging stablecoins for cross-border e-commerce. FinTech companies in Southeast Asia building remittance products on BVNX rails. The company had raised $150 million across three funding rounds, with their last valuation in late 2013 hitting $1.4 billion. Investors included Han Ventures, Coinbase Ventures, and Tiger Global, a mix that signaled both crypto-native and mainstream institutional confidence. But BVNEC wasn't operating in a vacuum. The regulatory environment was shifting beneath their feet. Here's the bull case, and it's more compelling than the headlines suggest. MasterCard didn't just buy a stablecoin company, they bought the future of correspondent banking. Every major financial institution is facing the same problem. Their customers want faster, cheaper international payments, but the existing infrastructure is held together with digital duct tape from the 1970s. The Society for Worldwide Interbank Financial Telecommunication, SWIFT, processes $5 trillion daily. But SWIFT isn't actually a payment system. It's a messaging system. When you send money internationally through SWIFT, you're basically sending a very expensive email that says, please move money. The actual movement still depends on correspondent banking relationships that can take days to settle. MasterCard's acquisition gives them something their competitors don't have, a functioning alternative to this entire system. BVNX infrastructure can settle cross-border transactions in minutes, not days. The cost structure is fundamentally different. Instead of each intermediary bank taking a cut, transactions pay only network fees and MasterCard's processing charges. The numbers are staggering. MasterCard processed $7.7 trillion in gross dollar volume last year. If even 5% of their cross-border volume shifts to stablecoin rails, and that's a conservative estimate, we're talking about nearly $200 billion in transactions that could benefit from faster settlement and lower costs. But the real opportunity isn't just replacing existing transactions. It's unlocking transactions that don't happen today because of cost and friction. Small businesses that can't afford international expansion because payment processing costs eat their margins. Remittance corridors where fees are so high that workers send money home less frequently. E-commerce platforms that limit which countries they serve based on payment complexity. BVNX technology stack addresses each of these pain points. Their compliance infrastructure already handles regulatory requirements across 32 jurisdictions. Their wallet as a service platform means MasterCard can offer stablecoin functionality to any financial institution without requiring them to build blockchain expertise. Their API layer is designed to integrate with existing banking systems, reducing implementation time from months to weeks. The revenue model is particularly attractive. Traditional payment processing generates revenue from interchange fees, the small percentage charged on each transaction. Stablecoin processing opens up additional revenue streams, network fees for on-chain settlements, yield generation from stablecoin reserves, liquidity provision services for financial institutions that need to maintain float across different currencies. MasterCard's CFO, Sachin Mehra, outlined the financial projections during their latest earnings call. They expect the BVNEC acquisition to contribute incremental revenue of $3 to $5 billion over the next 2 years, with margins significantly higher than their traditional card processing business. The reasoning is straightforward. Stablecoin transactions have lower operational costs, but can command similar or higher fees due to their speed and functionality advantages. The strategic positioning is equally compelling. Visa, MasterCard's primary competitor, has been more cautious about direct crypto integration. They've partnered with various stablecoin companies, but haven't made a major acquisition. This gives MasterCard a potential 18 to 24 month head start in building out native stablecoin capabilities. The European market presents a particularly attractive opportunity. The Markets in Crypto Assets Regulation, MiCA, takes full effect in 2025. While this creates compliance burdens, it also creates regulatory clarity. BVNK's existing compliance framework is designed to meet MiCA requirements, giving MasterCard immediate access to what will likely become the world's largest regulated stablecoin market. The timing aligns with broader institutional adoption trends. JP Morgan has been using their own JPM coin for institutional clients since 2019. BlackRock launched their tokenized money market fund in March. Goldman Sachs is piloting blockchain-based repo transactions. The infrastructure layer is maturing, and institutions are moving beyond experimentation to production deployments. From a technological perspective, BVNK solved many of the hard problems that have kept traditional financial institutions out of crypto. Key management is abstracted away through their custody infrastructure. Regulatory reporting is automated through their compliance dashboard. Integration with existing core banking systems is handled through their API gateway. MasterCard is essentially acquiring a turnkey solution that would have taken them years and hundreds of millions of dollars to build internally. The acquisition also positions MasterCard advantageously for the next phase of digital asset evolution. Central bank digital currencies are moving from research projects to pilot programs. Brazil's Digital Real pilot launches next year. The European Central Bank's digital euro is in advanced development. BVNK's infrastructure can support CBDCs as easily as stablecoins, giving MasterCard optionality as these new payment rails come online. But let's talk about what they're not telling you in the press releases and analyst calls. The regulatory risk is real and it's growing. While MasterCard executives paint a picture of regulatory clarity emerging, the reality is more complex and more dangerous for their investment thesis. Start with the United States, where regulatory agencies are engaged in what can only be described as a turf war over stablecoin oversight. The Securities and Exchange Commission, under Gary Gensler, has taken the position that most stablecoins are unregistered securities. The Commodity Futures Trading Commission disagrees, arguing that stablecoins are commodities under their jurisdiction. The Office of the Comptroller of the Currency has its own interpretation, focusing on banking regulations. This isn't academic hair splitting. Each agency brings different compliance requirements, different enforcement mechanisms, and different penalties for violations. MasterCard is now exposed to all of these regulatory risks through their BVNK acquisition. If the SEC decides to classify USDC or Tether as securities, BVNK's entire business model could become legally problematic overnight. The European situation isn't as rosy as the bull case suggests either. Yes, MiCA provides regulatory clarity, but that clarity comes with costs. Stablecoin issuers operating under MiCA will need to back their tokens with high-quality liquid assets, primarily government bonds and bank deposits. This requirement could reduce the yield that stablecoin issuers can generate, potentially making their business models less attractive and reducing adoption. More concerning is the political risk. European policymakers are increasingly skeptical of U.S. dollar-denominated stablecoins, viewing them as a form of digital colonialism that extends American monetary policy influence. There are active discussions about restricting or banning non-EU stablecoins, which would severely limit BVNK's addressable market in Europe. The competitive landscape is more challenging than MasterCard acknowledges. Circle, the issuer of USDC, has been building direct relationships with financial institutions for years. They already process over $150 billion in monthly volume, and have partnerships with major banks like Silvergate and Signature. Their USDC stablecoin has become the de facto standard for institutional use cases. Fireblocks, another major player in the space, offers institutional-grade infrastructure for digital asset management and has over 1,500 institutional clients. They've been aggressively expanding their stablecoin payment capabilities and have significant relationships with traditional financial institutions. Paxos, the regulated stablecoin issuer, has been working directly with payment processors and banks to integrate stablecoin capabilities. They're already processing billions in monthly volume and have regulatory approval in multiple jurisdictions. The question becomes, what exactly did MasterCard buy for $1.8 billion that they couldn't have built or partnered for? BVNK's technology stack, while sophisticated, isn't fundamentally different from what competitors offer. Their regulatory compliance framework, while valuable, isn't insurmountable to replicate. Their client relationships, while extensive, aren't exclusive. The integration challenges are also significant. BVNK operates on blockchain infrastructure that's fundamentally different from MasterCard's traditional payment rails. Combining these systems requires not just technical integration, but cultural integration between teams with very different backgrounds and approaches to financial technology. Historical precedent suggests caution. The financial services industry is littered with expensive acquisitions that promise to unlock new revenue streams, but ultimately disappointed. Remember when banks were paying billions for fintech companies during the last cycle? Most of those acquisitions destroyed value rather than created it. The technological risks are also underappreciated. Blockchain networks are still evolving rapidly. Ethereum, which hosts many of the stablecoins that BVNK processes, is undergoing major technical changes. Layer 2 solutions like Polygon and Arbitrum are gaining adoption, but add complexity. New blockchain networks are launching regularly, each with different technical characteristics and trade-offs. BVNK's infrastructure needs to stay current with all of these developments while maintaining the stability and reliability that traditional financial institutions require. This creates an ongoing technology debt that could become expensive to maintain. The market timing might also be problematic. Stablecoin growth has been driven primarily by crypto trading activity, which is notoriously cyclical. During crypto bear markets, stablecoin usage drops. If we're entering a prolonged crypto winter, BVNK's transaction volumes could decline just as MasterCard is trying to integrate and scale the business. There's also the customer adoption challenge. While BVNK has impressive transaction volumes, much of this comes from crypto-native institutions and emerging market financial services companies. Convincing mainstream banks and corporations to adopt stablecoin payment rails is a different challenge entirely. These institutions move slowly, have complex compliance requirements, and are generally risk-averse when it comes to new technology. The cost structure assumptions in the bull case may also be optimistic. While stablecoin transactions can be cheaper than traditional correspondent banking, they're not free. Network congestion can drive up transaction fees significantly. During periods of high activity on Ethereum, transaction fees can reach $50 to $100 per transaction. Layer 2 solutions help, but add complexity and introduce new risks. So what does this mean for the people listening to this podcast? For retail investors, this acquisition represents a clear signal that institutional capital is flowing into crypto infrastructure, but don't mistake this for validation of crypto assets as investments. MasterCard isn't betting on Bitcoin going to the moon. They're betting on blockchain technology becoming a boring piece of financial plumbing. If you're holding crypto, hoping for institutional adoption to drive prices higher, this deal suggests institutions are more interested in the technology than the speculation. For fund managers and institutional investors, the MasterCard BVNK deal highlights the maturation of the crypto infrastructure space. The companies building the picks and shovels of the crypto economy are attracting serious strategic acquirer attention. If you're investing in this space, focus on companies with real revenue, regulatory compliance, and integration capabilities rather than pure play crypto exposure. The deal also signals that traditional payment processors are worried about disruption. MasterCard wouldn't spend $1.8 billion unless they saw a real threat to their existing business model. This creates opportunities for investors who can identify which parts of the traditional financial infrastructure are most vulnerable to blockchain-based alternatives. For corporate treasurers and CFOs, particularly those at multinational companies, this acquisition makes stablecoin-based payments more viable. MasterCard's involvement provides the institutional credibility and support infrastructure that many companies need before adopting new payment technologies. If your company moves significant amounts of money across borders, it's worth evaluating whether stablecoin rails could reduce your costs and improve your cash flow. The regulatory implications are significant for compliance officers and risk managers. MasterCard's willingness to make this acquisition suggests they believe the regulatory environment will stabilize in favor of stablecoin adoption. But their deep pockets also mean they can weather regulatory uncertainty better than smaller players. If you're at a smaller financial institution, partnering with larger players like MasterCard might be safer than building internal stablecoin capabilities. For entrepreneurs and technology companies, the deal highlights the value of building infrastructure that traditional financial institutions can actually use. BVNK succeeded because they abstracted away the complexity of blockchain technology and focused on solving real business problems for traditional financial institutions. The lesson is that the most valuable crypto companies might be the ones that make crypto invisible. The geopolitical implications are also worth considering. U.S. dollar-denominated stablecoins represent a form of digital dollarization that extends American monetary policy influence. Countries concerned about this influence might restrict stablecoin adoption, creating opportunities for local or regional alternatives. Investors should watch how different jurisdictions respond to increasing stablecoin adoption. For technology professionals, particularly those in financial services, this acquisition suggests that blockchain expertise is becoming genuinely valuable in traditional finance. But it's not enough to understand the technology. You need to understand how to integrate it with existing financial infrastructure and regulatory frameworks. The deal also has implications for monetary policy and central banking as stablecoins become more widely adopted for international payments. They could reduce demand for traditional correspondent banking services and potentially impact how monetary policy transmits across borders. Central bankers are paying attention, and their responses could significantly impact the stablecoin ecosystem. For smaller payment processors and fintech companies, MasterCard's acquisition raises competitive concerns. BVNK was a provider they could potentially partner with or compete against. Now it's controlled by one of the largest payment processors in the world. This could lead to consolidation in the stablecoin infrastructure space as other major players make similar acquisitions to avoid being left behind. The timing of your response matters. early adopters of stablecoin payment capabilities might gain competitive advantages, but they also bear more regulatory and technological risk. Late adopters might find themselves locked out of partnerships or facing higher costs as infrastructure providers get acquired by competitors. Looking at portfolio implications, the deal suggests that the value in crypto might increasingly be captured by infrastructure companies rather than token holders. Stablecoins themselves generate limited returns. Their value proposition is stability, not appreciation. But the companies that provide stablecoin infrastructure, custody, compliance, and integration services could see significant value creation. The deal also highlights the importance of regulatory arbitrage in the crypto space. BVNEC built value by navigating different regulatory environments and helping traditional financial institutions access stablecoin capabilities without running afoul of compliance requirements. Companies that can effectively bridge regulatory jurisdictions have significant strategic value. For anyone building financial technology, the MasterCard BVNK deal demonstrates the importance of focusing on real business problems rather than technological novelty. BVNK didn't succeed because they built the most advanced blockchain technology. They succeeded because they solved the practical problems that kept traditional financial institutions from adopting stablecoin payments. The acquisition also suggests that the next phase of crypto adoption will be characterized by integration with existing financial infrastructure rather than replacement of it. The most successful crypto companies will likely be those that make traditional financial services better rather than those trying to reinvent finance from scratch. MasterCard's acquisition of BVNEC marks the moment when stablecoin infrastructure shifted from experimental technology to essential financial plumbing. The deal validates the utility of blockchain-based payment rails while highlighting the ongoing challenges of regulatory uncertainty and competitive positioning. For most stakeholders, the implications are clear. Stablecoins are becoming mainstream, but that mainstream adoption will be controlled by traditional financial institutions rather than crypto-native companies. That's Edge Capital Insights for today. I'm Sloan. Stay sharp. Stay skeptical.